in a brief series called Praying for a Change, and it is about the great power and privilege that we have in prayer. This tremendous opportunity that we are given in prayer. James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another. The NIV says faults, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins, your faults to one another. And I want you to know it doesn't say to a priest. It says to brothers and sisters, to one another. That's a community of grace. You know, the church is supposed to be this way, that we can share our struggles, our burdens, our hardships, and even our faults with others so that they can pray for us. And it says this very plainly, pray for one another. Yes, we always should be praying for one another. I want to make a little clarification to last week's message. You know, I focused for a few minutes about how it's kind of selfish for us to just pray that God will change everybody and everything else, when sometimes we need to be willing to allow God to change us and make us a vessel of change that He can work through. But yes, we should always pray for others. Pray for one another. We read it right there in James 5:16. And yes, we pray that God will change them. Not just what we want, but that He will have His will and His way in their heart and life and accomplish what He wants to do in their lives. Our key passage is James chapter 5, and we'll read that verse again. Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, it certainly is talking about physical healing. When people are sick, we're supposed to pray for them. But the word that's translated as healed there is also used in Luke 4:18 when Jesus is talking about why He's come to heal the brokenhearted. And that word heal can also be translated as made whole. So yes, we pray for one another for physical healing, but also healing in our soul, for spiritual healing. And we just need to realize that it's very powerful when we pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The prayer of a righteous man. None of us is righteous on our own. We all know that. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that we have become righteous. And you need to know that when this verse of Scripture in James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is talking about you. Now, I said this last week, and I'm going to get this in here again. It's not a game. I mean, if you're not right with God, you're not righteous. That's what it means to be righteous. It's really is to be right with God. And if there's something between you and God, you know there's something that's not right. You need to make it right. And the Bible makes that pretty simple in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when you get cleansed from all unrighteousness, what are you? Righteous. Righteous. That's right. And you need to know this. If you're right with God, you have great power in prayer. Amen. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The NIV says it real simple. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Your prayers are powerful and effective. Now, if you're not right with God this morning, you need to get right with God. You can come up to the front this morning and get right with God. But if you're right with God, you need to know your prayers are powerful and effective. You know why people don't pray? They think it doesn't make a difference. But if you know your prayers are powerful and effective, you'll pray. That's right. This isn't a pride thing to say, my prayers are powerful and effective. No, it's because of what Jesus did that we've been made righteous. But the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. I want to ask you to say it this morning. My prayers are powerful and effective. You say it. My prayers are powerful and effective. Oh, if you get that down inside of you where you actually believe that, you'll want to pray a whole lot more. When you believe that your prayers make the difference, you'll pray more. Amen. You need to know it. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And as I told you last week, Elijah had a nature like ours. He wasn't perfect, but he was a righteous man. And when he prayed, things happened. And the same is true for you and I. Prayer is the most powerful thing that we ever do, because prayer is how we get God's help. And we need to do a whole lot more of it. We need to be a praying church. The church at large, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to go back to this. The most important thing is that we have God's help in this world. And that happens when people pray. Amen. I want to read verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Such power. You see this power at work when Elijah prayed. That same power is available to us when we pray. And we need to use that power to pray, to see change in our family, in our friends, our co-workers, in our community, in our nation. We need to see God move and work, and that happens when people pray. Amen. It's not hard to look around and see people that need change, see people that are apathetic to the things of God or who are away from God, people that are struggling or battling with a particular area of their life, and they need the Lord's help. How do you get that? Pray. That's how you get God's help. And most of us, you know, we don't have any problem, as I said last week, we don't have any problem finding the faults with others, but we need to realize that prayer is the answer. Trying to change people by yourself is like pushing a rope. You ever tried it? It doesn't work. Why don't we try praying for a change? God can change people. He can move and work and do what we can't do. Now, I'm telling you this morning, battles are won or lost because of prayer or the lack of it. Those that are too carnal, those that are too weak, those that are sick, those that are discouraged, they need somebody to pray for them. Let's pray for people. You know, the number one failing method to change people is to talk about people, to gossip about them. Sometimes people present prayer requests as really just kind of a way to gossip spiritually. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to pray for so-and-so. Did you know blah, 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 blah? But it's amazing how somehow we think that we're being spiritual when we talk about the problems that other people have. I just got to tell you that God doesn't move and work that way. The number two failing method to change people is to criticize them, to browbeat them, to tell them what all they're doing wrong, and just to stay after them day after day, to nag them about their faults and how they need to change. And it almost never works, and it always does more harm than good, and yet it seems like that's the method that people try to use to help other people change. What if we tried praying for a change? I'm telling you, God can move and work and do what we can't do. So don't complain. Don't complain about your spouse or your children. Pray. Don't complain about the church. Don't complain about its leaders, especially the pastor. Pray. I invite you to pray for me. You know, don't complain about the music or the worship or the message or something else that needs to change. Well, we got together and we all talked about it. Talk to God. Pray. You know, we just need to understand that there are things that need to change in all of us, right? None of us has arrived yet. So what we need to do is we need to do what the Bible says and pray for one another, because I want to tell you, prayer can change others. Back to our verse, James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It makes a difference. There are things that are accomplished when a righteous man prays. And so you may say, well, I don't know if that's going to do any good. I don't know if that's going to work. Well, I can tell you that it's not going to work for you then. Because you need to believe. Prayer is not just throwing up some words. You need to pray and believe. And if you get a hold of this, that your prayers are powerful and effective, it will help you. One man said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. See, people don't have to listen to you, but let me tell you something. God will listen to you if you'll pray. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's amazing how people will take a verse like this and they just kind of run wild with it. Whatever you ask. Some people talk about it being a blank check. Don't believe this garbage. The King James says, whatever you desire. Well, I got to tell you, a lot of people have desires that are not in line with the will of God. You always interpret Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture. He's not telling us we can just ask anything we want and God's automatically going to do it. But if we ask anything according to His will, how do I know that? Because the Bible tells me really plainly, 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. So when we pray according to the will of God, we know He hears us. We know He's going to answer our prayers. So this is what we want to pray for other people, is we pray for them according to the will of God. Not just how we want them to change. How does God want them to change? What does God want to do in their life? We pray according to the will of God. Now, you know, for most of us, we barely can get the will of God for our own life, much less be thinking about somebody else's. But how can we pray the will of God for somebody else? Well, first and foremost, you pray according to the Word of God. You're going to pray for the lost. You need to know it's God's will for them to be saved. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, if you pray for the lost and you're like, well, God, who knows, you know, maybe they're supposed to go to hell. Oh, my goodness. It's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, yes, you're praying according to the will of God that they will get saved. When somebody's sick, you can pray according to the will of God and say, Lord, You said, I am the Lord who heals you. You gave this promise, by His stripes you were healed. We need to know the Word of God so we know how to pray for people. Somebody's bound by some sin or addiction, we know that the Son wants to set them free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not His will for them to be bound up like that. See, we can pray according to the will of God by using the Word of God to help us to guide our prayer. You know, it's always God's will for people to get closer to Him. It's always God's will for people to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And so many things we know are His will because the Scripture tells us. Second, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayer. He is able to give us wisdom and direction and guide us. He guides us into truth. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. And He is able to put on our heart how we need to pray for somebody. And we just need to be sensitive to Him and follow that. The third way that we can pray according to the will of God is allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. I'm telling you, we need to get back to prayer. We want to see God move and work. We need to pray. This is the answer. We can say this is it and that's it. I'm telling you, the answer is we get God's help, and we get that by prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us because He knows what the will of God is. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." You ever not know what to pray? "But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, knows the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What a great way to pray for others. The Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. What if we just allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us? You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:28, he says, "What comes upon me daily is my deep concern for the churches." You know, the Apostle Paul had started so many churches, planted these churches, and he felt the burden to pray for these people. He had this concern for them every day. And you know, all of us, there are people that God would put on our heart that we would pray for, that we would lift up in prayer. But how do you know how to pray for those people? I want you to understand something about the Apostle Paul's situation. He was hundreds of miles from these churches, and they didn't have a phone where he could just pick up and call and say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" He couldn't look on Facebook or social media or the church website. There's no internet. There's no modern technology, none of those types of communication. And so it could be weeks or even months before he would get word of what was going on and how they were doing. He needed the help of the Holy Spirit to pray for those people. He didn't know what he should pray, but the Holy Spirit did. And I want you to understand that even though we have the phone and we can say, "Hey, what's going on with you? How can I pray for you?" And that's a good thing. A lot of the time, we don't really know all that we need to be praying about, and that's why we need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Here's one thing Paul did, 1 Corinthians 14:14. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? "I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding." I'll pray with my spirit and with the understanding. He said, "I'm going to pray both ways. You pray what you know to pray, and then you let the Holy Spirit do the rest." He said, "My mind is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying, but the Lord knows." Now, did the Apostle Paul do this very often? Was this like a thing? A couple of verses later, verse 18, he says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." He says very plainly that he does this more than anybody else. He says, "I do this more than all of you." And he says, "Now in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words that people understand than 10,000 in a tongue." But he says he does this all the time. He does this more than anybody. Why? Because he's allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through him in the will of God, in the perfect will of God. Oh, how powerful that is when we pray according to the will of God. I know that a lot of people have this religious mindset. It's a deception. It's where they try to recreate God in their image. And they think, well, if I was God, I would just do what I'm going to do. Why, you know, God, He'd just do His will. Well, I got to tell you, He's not God. I mean, you're not God. We're not God, right? And we need to understand this. This is the way that he has chosen to work. That when people pray, he moves. And we say, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? He waits for somebody to pray in faith and believe. He says in his word, you have not because you ask not. Why didn't he just do it? You have not because you ask not. We have to pray. You see, God wants us in this relationship with him where we are close to him and we talk to him and he talks to us even. That's prayer. We need to understand that it's important to God that we live this life of prayer, praying for others. We are a part of what God is doing in the earth today. Prayer changes things. And I'll tell you, if we believe that, we'll get busy praying for people. As there are so many people that don't know the Lord, so many Christians that act like they don't know the Lord, so many people that are out of church, forsaking the assembling of themselves together, they need somebody to pray for them. And pray for our worship team. I just encourage you to do that because Satan hates it when people worship God. And it almost always, in every church, he always works overtime trying to get at the people that lead in worship. Pray for the worship team. Pray for the staff. Pray for the leaders. Amen. Pray for the nursery workers. But I'm just telling you, the answer is that we pray for one another. Somebody that's missing church, they're not here, pray for them. Somebody that's dealing with some issue in their life, they're not doing good, and you know it, pray for them. Don't talk about them, pray for them. Somebody that just seems to be, you know, struggling, weak spiritually, pray for them that God will strengthen them. Paul prayed like that in Ephesians 3:16. He said, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. What a great prayer. Here's a prayer that almost all of us could stand to have prayed for us. Strengthen them in the inner man, in their spirit. Strengthen them. Yes, we all need that sometimes. And it's in line with the will of God to pray that. You know, sometimes we get this attitude that you prayed for somebody and they just seem to have gotten worse. Maybe they're just too far gone to reach. You need to know God is a miracle working God and he can absolutely reach them. And even when you prayed for them and they just got worse, don't stop praying. That's a sin. Real quiet. That's all right. It's a sin to stop praying for people. Well, they're doing bad. It's just getting worse. Keep praying. Keep believing God. When the children of Israel had rebelled against the Lord, listen to what Samuel says to them in 1 Samuel 12:23. He says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know, when somebody's doing wrong, we say, oh, they're in sin. But you know, it's also a sin not to do the things that we know we're supposed to do. Stay with me, Jimmy. Help me, brother. I'm telling you, we need to get this word. We need to be a praying people. You want to see God move and work and do things. You want to see things change. This is how that happens, is we pray, and God answers prayer. Why don't we get on board and jump in and let's give this our all? Prayer changes things. James 4:17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. A sin of omission, but it's a sin nonetheless. We need to pray like God answers prayer. Now, you know, when you're going to pray for the lost, I just want to give you a little direction here. Don't pray, Lord, save everybody. You don't have faith for that. What you need to do is you need to zero in on some people that God puts on your heart. And you need to begin to pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. Because here's the thing. Not only will God begin to move and to work, but so often God will do something in your heart and he may end up using you to be the one to reach them. But I'm just telling you, you need to focus your prayer on some people that God lays on your heart. And we need to pray that God will open their eyes. Realize that the God of this age, well, let me read it to you, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, we need to pray for them until we believe. Until we believe that those people are going to come to the Lord. Amen. Keep praying for them. You know, a lot of the time we struggle with praying for others because we know they have a free will. They absolutely do. And God will not take away their free will. And we cannot take away their free will. You can't make somebody do something. But I just want you to know that even though they have a free will, that doesn't mean that God can't move and work in their life and bring about change in their life. God can change somebody's mind. He can turn them around and get them going the right direction. A lot of different ways He moves and works and deals with people. He sets things in motion. He sends somebody, but He can do it. If you don't think God can change somebody's mind and deal with their will, you just haven't read the Bible very much, because there's a lot of examples. But one of my favorites is in Acts chapter 10. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 10 sometime today. But in Acts chapter 10, there's this Roman soldier, a centurion, who is praying. And he's not born again. He's never even heard the gospel. But he is in the revelation, the knowledge he has of God. He is a praying man, and he gives alms, and he's a God-fearing man. And the Lord hears his prayer. An angel comes to this man, Cornelius, and he tells him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. God hears prayer, and God moves when people pray. And this angel tells him, he says, you need to send men to Joppa to get Peter, and he's going to come. Now, Cornelius, he doesn't know any better than just to obey God. He sends men to Joppa to get Peter. In the meantime, Peter, he's gone up on the rooftop where he is, and he's praying. He gets hungry. And when he gets hungry, the Lord shows him a vision where a sheet comes down in front of him, and on this sheet are all kinds of unclean animals. And Peter, as a Jew, has never eaten anything unclean. The Lord says to him, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter, this man of God who loves the Lord, he says, not so, Lord, because I have never eaten anything unclean. Can you imagine? He's telling God no. I think he probably thought somehow, like, God's testing me, you know, this is a test. No way, Lord. No way, I'm not eating it. The Lord showed him this vision 3 times. And the Lord said to him, you don't call unclean what I have called clean. And at that when God showed him the vision the 3rd time, then the men from Cornelius' house arrived there. And Peter goes with them. And when he gets to Cornelius' house, there's a great gathering of people. Cornelius' friends and family is there. And he shares the gospel with them. And the scripture says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Here's the thing. Peter would have never gone if God hadn't dealt with his heart. There were traditions, there were prejudices there. There's no way that he would have believed that God would save these Gentiles and fill them with the Holy Spirit. But God did a work in his heart and changed. See, he got his will changed. God is able to do that. You just need to realize that prayer makes the difference. Here's a man that's not even born again, just praying in the revelation of God that he has. And God moved and worked because of his prayer. Now, I don't think that Cornelius was praying, Lord, get Peter to come help us. He didn't even know to do that. But he was hungry for something, and God heard his prayer, and he dealt with Peter and had him go. But here's the thing. He changed Peter's heart to get him to go and to minister to Cornelius and his family and friends. And then he changed all of those lives. Prayer works. How we need to be a praying people. You know, somebody you know might be really bullheaded, headed the wrong direction. How about old Jonah? God tells him to go to Nineveh and to preach to those people so that they'll repent. But Jonah doesn't want to go because he doesn't want God to show those people mercy. He wants them to be judged and punished. And so he gets on a boat going the wrong direction. A great storm comes, and Jonah finally admits to the men on the boat that it's because of him, so they throw him overboard. He's swallowed by a big fish. What is going on here? God is about to change this man's mind. For 3 days, he is in the belly of a fish. And don't have some little cartoon version of this in your mind. This was a horror of horrors. There's no light. It's utter darkness. He is in the stomach of a fish for 3 days. It's a miracle that he was not harmed. But after 3 days, somehow or another, he had an attitude change. He was ready to go to Nineveh. Amazing. You think God can't deal with that bullheaded person you're praying for? He sure can. Three days. I don't think it would have taken me 3 minutes to change my mind. But the truth is a lot of us, we're in a difficult situation. Might not be as bad as the belly of a fish, but we're in a difficult situation because we're out of the will of God or not doing what God wants us to do. And yet, some of us, it takes us a lot longer than 3 days to get with the program. But I just want you to understand, you see, God is able, through a vision, through an angel, he's able to send a man or woman to minister to somebody. He's able to bring about circumstances and set things in motion to deal with people. But we need to pray. We serve a God who changes attitudes and hearts. And we need to be praying for believers, for our brothers and sisters, that they'll grow, that they'll mature in the faith, and be who God wants them to be. Colossians 4:12 in the NIV, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I love the way he words this here in the NIV. It's, he's wrestling in prayer for you. He's not throwing up a little prayer. He's wrestling in prayer for you, that you're going to mature and grow in the faith. You see, we need to be praying like that for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, wrestling in prayer for them. Moms and dads, I encourage you, wrestle in prayer for your children. Oh, you need to talk to them. You need to instruct them. You need to lead them the right direction. You also need to pray for them. Don't give up on them. Wrestle in prayer for them. We all need that. You know, when you're sick and you're tired or you're in the thick of some battle, it makes a difference. We have somebody else that's wrestling in prayer for you, standing in the gap for you. You know, a lot of us, that we can look back on a time in our life when we realize that we might not even be alive if there hadn't have been somebody praying for us. Anybody? We might not even be alive if it hadn't have been for somebody that was praying for us. See, that's the power of prayer. It makes such a difference. I know many times in my life, I've been through things that I wasn't really strong enough to endure. Battles that I couldn't win on my own. But I believe it was the prayers of other people that gave me strength and got me through. Sometimes I even felt like I sensed it in my spirit, and I'm sure there were countless times that I didn't even know about it, but it was other people praying for me. And I'm just telling you that we all need that. We all need to have brothers and sisters who are praying for us. It makes the difference. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want to speak boldly. I want to preach His word boldly. Pray for me that the Holy Spirit will speak through me to change hearts and lives. That's what I want. I'm not talking about being Mr. Popular Preacher. I don't care. I just want God, the Holy Spirit, to use me to change hearts and lives. And I'm sincere when I say pray for me. And I want to tell you, we all need that. We all need people praying for us to be who God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. We pray for His will to be done. Jesus taught us to pray that way. We pray His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to be praying for one another all the time. Your prayers are powerful and effective. They make a difference. And in the body of Christ, we ought to be praying for each other every day. It's been a real encouragement to me when people will say, I've been praying for you. Thank you, brother. It helps me. The Apostle Paul, in his letters, many times he said, I prayed for you. He tells them what he prayed. The Lord Jesus, before he was taken away and crucified, he told Peter, he says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And what I'm saying to you is that not to look good in the eyes of men, but to encourage our brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to tell them, I prayed for you. They need to know that they're not alone in their struggle, that somebody cares and that somebody's standing with them. And so sometimes it's right and good for you to say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. We all need that sometimes. The Apostle Paul, he asked for prayer over and over. Another example is 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Prayer will change your life. It'll change somebody else's life. I'm going to say it again. Moms and dads, keep wrestling in prayer for your kids. Always pray for our children and young people in this church. God has blessed us. Let's be good stewards and pray for them. Pray for the lost, those that have been blinded by the evil one. Pray for those that forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Pray for those who have been deceived, headed in the wrong direction. Pray for those who have bought into some false doctrine. Pray for those who become proud and arrogant before destruction comes. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are bitter. Pray for those who are lukewarm. Pray for those who are away from God. Here's the thing. We need to be praying a whole lot more. And I challenge you, I encourage you one more time. I'm going to say it one more time. If you're right with God, your prayers are powerful and effective. Stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I want our prayer partners to come.